years ago. Well, anyway, you know, over the past number of weeks, we've been talking about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Caleb. And we learned that Caleb served the Lord wholeheartedly. This morning, we're going to take a look at a man in the New Testament and a man by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas was first introduced to the world in Acts chapter 4. His name was Joseph, but the disciples gave him a name, Barnabas, Barnabas. And as we look at that name, it really means that it would be the son of encouragement, the son of exhortation, or the son of consolation. Barnabas was a good man to be around. Barnabas was a good man to have as part of your team. And this is what we discovered, Barnabas. Now, it's important for you and me when we look at characters in the Old Testament. With some, we discover how we're supposed to live, and with others, we discover how we're not supposed to live. It's not good, though, for us to emulate these people. If we want to emulate anyone, we should be attempting to emulate Jesus. We'll have a little more to say about that because the Spirit of the living God lives within every believer. And as the Spirit of the living God lives within every believer, gradually he is moving us to be more like Jesus in our day-to-day walk. So first of all, let us read God's Word as we find in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, beginning to read verse number 19. Verse number 19. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1090. However, the words will be on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. Now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Just hesitate there. Stephen was a young man, a disciple of the Lord, and he was stoned, killed for his faith. And so as a result, people were after the Christians, and the Christians then decided to scatter. Also, Antioch was the third most important city in all of Rome. There was Rome and Alexandria and then Antioch. So now beginning to read, Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Joseph, now called Barnabas, was a native of Cyprus, and he was a Levite who owned some land. And it's speculated that perhaps he owned more than one plot of land, because we know later on in Acts chapter 4 that he sold some of his property and gave the profit to the disciples so they could use it in their ministry and in their work. Just as an aside, Levites were not supposed to hold land, yet Barnabas was a Levite. So in some way, perhaps someone gave him the land, we really don't know, but nonetheless, he was able to use it for the Lord's good. Barnabas was acknowledged by the people as a prophet and a teacher, and I would like to emphasize he was also known as an encourager. Now let me tell you something. when there is somebody in the congregation who is an encourager, you'll be absolutely amazed at how a word of encouragement lifts a person up. Barnabas was an encourager. I remember years ago, again, if you'll pardon the reference to when I was with the Boy Scouts of Canada, there was a colleague of mine, and we were talking away, and he said, you know, if I have a word of encouragement, that'll keep me floating for months. If I have a word of discouragement or chastisement, I am sunk low for many months. Words of encouragement. If we can be a Barnabas, if we can give words of encouragement to one another, then this is indeed a praise God item. I've heard people say, I don't have a particular gift. How can I serve the Lord? Well, I'll tell you one way you can serve the Lord. You can pray for others. But another way you can serve the Lord is you can look for opportunities to encourage others in what they are doing. And believe me, that in itself is a great ministry. Here was Barnabas. He convinced the apostles of genuineness. Remember Paul's conversion? He was Saul, then changed his name to Paul. He represented the apostles at Antioch, recognizing the movement of God that was there. He accompanied Paul on his first missionary journey, and he defended the work among the Gentiles at the Jerusalem Council. Well, that's a story for another day about all that took place at the Jerusalem Council. But here was Barnabas, a relatively new Christian, but yet he was an encourager to all. In summary, we can look at Barnabas and discover these words. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Look at those words. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. This we discover about Barnabas. He was a man of faith. He was a man of fullness, and he was a man of fruitfulness. Barnabas, a man of faith, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Reflecting upon this truth, we discover that no one can experience a spirit-filled life without faith. In fact, we are told throughout Scripture, we are justified by faith, we are sanctified by faith, and one day we'll be glorified by faith. There was a Southern preacher who was preaching one time, and in a Southern drawl, he said, I've been justified, I am being sanctified, and one of these days I'm going to be glorified. Well, that's just the way it is. We are justified by putting our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Not what we can do, but what he's done for us. And we accept that. And we are justified by faith. Then we are sanctified by faith, meaning that in our faith journey, as we are growing, we ought to be growing in the Lord. We ought to be a better Christian today than we were yesterday because we are being sanctified over a period of time. And then when the time comes for us to be called to our heavenly home, we will finally be glorified in the very presence of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us, and without faith it is impossible to please God. And then we read these words in Romans, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Well, that also is a story for another day. But remember, you and I need to live our lives according to faith and by faith. In the life of Barnabas, we discover that he had an openness to the Lord and he had an obedience to the Lord. An openness and obedience. Now, we're talking about Barnabas this morning. Previously, as I mentioned, we talked about Caleb. But in the Old Testament, Caleb was open to the Lord and he was obedient to the Lord. Barnabas is open to the Lord and he's obedient to the Lord. And so that's a question which I would like to ask us all. Are we obedient to the Lord? We read in God's Word in Hebrews, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was one who had an openness to the Lord, who really listened to what the Lord had to say, and he wanted to hear him in every way. Actually, when we think of it, the phrase full of faith is something more than natural trustfulness. It's related to it, but there are a couple of other items. Barnabas had a strong grip on the gospel truth, and he was not troubled with weakening and depressing doubts coming concerning the messiahship of Jesus. Now, pardon me, the messiahship of Jesus and his resurrection. This is vitally important. You've heard me say this so many times before, but as believers in Jesus Christ, putting all of our trust in him, we've got to understand who he is. And we know that he was God in human form. And we know that he was virgin born. That's mightily important. We know that he lived and died on the cross and paid on the cross for your sin and for mine. Then he was dead. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And he's forever at the right hand of God the Father. The important truth is we believe in the virgin birth and we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you do not believe fully in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you need to seek God in prayer. You need to say, Lord, I'm having troubles believing in the resurrection of Jesus. Please make it clear to me. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know he has risen from the dead, he's alive forevermore, and he's coming back to earth one day. And he's coming back to earth and going to receive all of his believers, all of Christians, to be with him. This is indeed a praise God item. Also, Barnabas had a clear vision of the inclusiveness of the Christian gospel. He knew that people, Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks, Jews and non-Greeks, they all needed to hear the message of Jesus so that they had an opportunity to decide whether to put their trust in him or not. And you and I are faced with exactly the same decision. Do we put our trust and faith in Jesus or do we not? Jesus has given us that free will to choose yes or no. We know this because Barnabas was a companion of both Paul and Mark. And remember that Paul was named Saul. And when he was named Saul, he was a persecutor of Christians, persecutor of people who chose the way of life, following Jesus. He would do everything he could to shut down churches, everything he could to persecute Christians, even to the point of having them killed or imprisoned. This was the man Saul. But then Saul had an experience in the road of Damascus with the living Christ, with the one who was resurrected, with Jesus, and he was never the same again. And he changed his name to Paul. Actually, during one of the missionary journeys, Paul and John Mark had a disagreement, but it was Barnabas that came to the rescue. Barnabas, who saved the day between Paul and Mark. Barnabas had such a vision for world evangelism that he knew how to make this a priority and therefore to subjugate everything else in his life. He wanted to reach out to people, preach and teach the gospel. With Barnabas, there was an openness to the Lord. But also with Barnabas, there was an obedience to the Lord. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, we read these words. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. When we read scripture, we say, this is the word of the Lord. And the congregation says, thanks be to God. Whenever we read scripture in the Old and the New Testament, we are reminded, this is God's word. And it's God's word not just for ages past, but it's God's word for today. Now, it's interesting that in both the Old and the New Testament, the word obey actually comes from the two words to hear. You have to hear, and then comes obedience. Have you ever been talking to someone, and you know that you don't have their attention? You're talking to them, they hear you, they hear your words, but their mind is off somewhere else. And they're thinking about something else. They may be thinking about how they're going to answer you, or they may be thinking about something entirely differently, but you know you don't have their attention. They're just listening. And then there are times you're speaking to someone, and you know that you have their undivided attention. They are interested in you. They are listening to you. They are obedient to the Lord, and they are listening. And this is what Barnabas was. He was a listener. It's clear that Barnabas was a man who really listened. He was a man of obedience. When we read the words, continue with the Lord, he's calling for active obedience. Just mention this. To obey means active response to someone, to something one hears, not just a passive listening. Think about it. To obey is an active response, not just passive listening. So when Jesus speaks, it requires an active response. When you and I are reading God's word and we see in it a particular sentence or a particular phrase or something that stands out and it speaks to us in a way that no other word does, then we need an active response to God's word. Not just passiveness, but an active response. We read these words. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. What a blessing that is. Here he is, yet again, the son of encouragement, encouraging others. That's why the disciples changed his name from Joseph to Barnabas. He was an encourager, encouraging people wherever he went and whatever he did. How wonderful it would be if you and I, or put it another way, if all of our congregation, if we were encouragers, lifting other people up, not tearing them down, but lifting others up. We discover that Barnabas was a man of faith, and he was a man of fullness. We read these words yet again, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So how can we apply that to you and to me? Our blessed Lord fully intends that every single Christian should be consciously, continuously, and conspicuously full of the Holy Spirit. How wonderful that would be. Those words, consciously, continuously, conspicuously, full of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, this was certainly true of Barnabas. Is it true for you and me? So a question we might have is, I would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How does this happen? Well, it requires emptiness, yieldedness, and prayerfulness. Emptiness, yieldedness, and prayerfulness. There must be emptiness. The Holy Spirit is not a liquid. Do you remember back some time ago, there was a program on television, and the phrase caught on, may the force be with you. May the force be with you. They even had a hand signal of some nature. May the force be with you. Well, this force is not the Holy Spirit. We want to pray, may God's Spirit be with you. We must always refer to God's Spirit as He, never as it. We never say, do you have it? No. We say, do you have Him? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? And we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read these words, do not quench the Holy Spirit, or another translation, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now that makes the assumption the Spirit of the living God is alive and within you, and therefore you do not want to put out, deliberately do something to put out the Spirit's fire, or you don't want to do anything to deliberately quench the Holy Spirit. Another scripture in Ephesians says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. A little more to say about that in a moment, but quenching the Holy Spirit refers to self in our lives, and grieving the Holy Spirit refers to sin in our lives. So when we think about it, self must be reduced, sin must be confessed if the Holy Spirit is to fill us. I read a statement this week, and I thought this is a wonderful statement. In fact, it would fit in to today's message. The life Jesus expects from his followers is unattainable apart from his intervention. And his intervention in your life and my life comes via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life and mine. There's a story told of a young man who recently underwent surgery to remove part of the pericardium. Now, that's a sac of some nature that is around your heart, but it's very thin and it controls things. And apparently this sac had grown to 3/4 of an inch and it was restricting his heart and it was sort of pulling in on his heart this way. So when the surgeons went in and they were able to cut this pericardium, immediately the heart started to beat twice as fast as it had been beating all along. It was an absolute cure and miracle for this young man. And you might ask the question, how does being filled with the Holy Spirit relate to this pericardium being cut so that it could do its work? Well, as with the enlarged pericardium, sin cuts down on our spiritual functioning and makes us spiritually ill. And we need to let the Lord remove the sin that restricts us from functioning 100% of the time as he would have his function. Remember those words again? The life Jesus expects from his followers, you and me, is unattainable on our own. But when we have his intervention, the work of his Holy Spirit, and we don't quench the Holy Spirit, and we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is then alive, active, and well to fill you and to fill me. How are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Threefold condition. Emptiness. Emptying ourselves of ourself and filling with God's Holy Spirit. It's not something that we do. It's something that he does when we are empty. But there also must be yieldedness. We learn from the Holy Spirit's writing through Paul that we cannot fill ourselves, but we need to be open so that God's Spirit can dwell within us. We read in Acts, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, when God has whom God has given to those who obey him. God gives the Holy Spirit to everybody who places their trust in him, and we get a filling of the Holy Spirit when we are obedient unto him. Important for Christians to realize, we don't just accept Jesus as Savior and then get on with life the way we normally do. No. We put our trust in Jesus, and not only for our salvation, not only for looking after us in eternity, but all through the present life, we need to be open to God's Spirit to lead us as to how we ought to be living. And in the back of my mind, I keep thinking, Lord, your Holy Spirit is working in me and molding me to be more like Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that my mind will be open, my heart will be open, my soul will be open, to allow your Spirit to do this so that I will not restrict your Spirit in my life. Now then, we're filled with the Holy Spirit by emptiness, by yieldedness, and then by prayerfulness. All blessings come to us by the way of faith. Reminded that Jesus said this, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Now, that's an amazing statement by Jesus, God in human form. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. I'm sure that you, and certainly I, have asked for things in prayer, and we've never actually received the answer that we were looking for. Remember this, God always hears our prayers. God always answers our prayers. It may be yes. It may be no, it may be wait, but God hears and answers our prayer. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer, providing it is within the will of God. We ought not, must not, pray for things that are out of God's will. We want to live a life that's within God's will. We read these words from our Savior, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more, the scripture says, Jesus says, will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you want to live a life obedient to the Lord and filled by the Holy Spirit, are you empty of yourself and want to be filled with God's Spirit? Are you yielded to God's Spirit? And prayerfully, have you said, Lord Jesus, would you allow your Spirit to fill me even to the point of overflowing today? In fact, that's a good prayer for each of us to pray each and every morning. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I may work for you this day. The late Dr. R.A. Torrey, in his book, The Power of Prayer, writes, "Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power." Dr. Torrey made these observations. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. We attend many services, but have few conversations. Much machinery, but few results. Now, I reworded this slightly, and I said, if we are too busy to pray, then we are too busy to have power. You want power from the living Lord? We need to pray. We need to talk to him about it. We are observing this man's life, the life of Barnabas, called Joseph, now called Barnabas because his works indicated that he was a person who encouraged others. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were each encouragers? He was a man of faith. He was a man of fullness. And the Lord willing, next week, we'll look at him being a man of fruitfulness. But to conclude this morning, before we gather around the Lord's table, let's keep in mind that Barnabas, like him, we can be people of faith and we can have a life of fullness. Fullness under the control of God's Holy Spirit. We come under the control of the Spirit when we recognize our need to empty ourselves and allow him to fill the spot, fill the place. We also know that we need to pray. May God's blessed Holy Spirit enhance our connection with God the Father and Jesus the Son. May he do this for you. May he do it for me. May you and I be open to God's work. Can you imagine the effect that we can have on this community if we are all spiritually motivated by God's Holy Spirit doing the work through us that he wants to accomplish? Our Father and our God, we offer praise, honor, and glory unto you, and we thank you for your gift of creation, your gift of salvation, your gift of your presence in the power of your Holy Spirit. O Lord, fill us with your Spirit, even to the point of overflowing, that we may be good witnesses for you, because we are justified, we are being sanctified, and there's a day when we will be glorified. We offer praise unto you. Amen.